And rolling. All right.
Hey, man.
Hello there.
We rolling?
We are rolling.
Look at that rolling.
Yeah, man. Zach and Andy back at the East Nashville Beer Works in East Nashville, Tennessee. It's another beautiful day here in the neighborhood. It's a little warm, but we found a spot under a shade tree. A couple trees.
Just painting a picture right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually sitting by a nice fence with some, what do you call that lighting?
Like tube lighting?
LED tube lighting.
Something.
And we're here early before the big crowds.
Yeah, because the Titans play.
That's right, Monday Night Football, Titans and Bills.
This would actually be an awesome place to like post up and get a pizza, because they do pizza here. So they do beer and pizza. And they have screens inside, outside, and this big, no, that's an LED screen. Holy shit.
That's not a projector?
No, I thought it was a projector. It's not. It's a giant LED screen. So you could come out here and eat pizza and salad and drink beer and watch the Titans at East Nashville Beer Works. What? And it's family friendly. There's a playground for the small children.
Yep.
Something that I'll enjoy as a dad.
Oh, I was going to say, your kid is going to be well acquainted with the playground. Whoa.
Whoa, somebody.
Narrowly avoided a collision on the street.
Speaking of children, I went to a one-year-old birthday party on Saturday.
Wild.
You know what's funny? Okay, yes. Definitely wild for a one-year-old. What I'm learning about one-year-old birthday parties is it's mostly them smashing cake into their face while all the adults drink beer and hang out and eat food.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds great. That sounds like fun to me. We are due October 28th, so right before Halloween. October 28th is my niece's birthday. Mm. She will be one. I have been told, verbatim, it is going to be an epic one-year-old birthday party. Now, I've just gone to a one-year-old birthday party, and he was adorable. He's very cute. I have a hard time with the whole epic part and one-year-old birthday party. Like, if you have a 21st birthday party, that could be epic. But yeah, when you're one, it's not epic. You smash cake into your face, and then you take a nap. Like,
well, I guess it's epic for the parents.
I guess so.
Isn't it kind of an ego flex for the parents?
I think so.
All this stuff?
Well, you know, I think...
Like, basically until a kid has his or her own friends and can, like, kind of dictate what goes on at their own party.
Right.
In some sort of meaningful way.
And then they're like, stop talking to me, Dad. I'm handling my friends.
Yeah, it's just kind of a weird flex for the parents.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's cute. I would say it'd be a cute birthday party, but don't use the word epic. It's not going to be epic.
Yeah.
But... who knows? We may or may not be at that party. Depends on if the baby comes early. So we'll see.
Oh, sure.
But okay. All that is to say, thinking about like physical activity and babies, because there's a playground here.
Mm-hmm.
My niece is not yet walking, and she doesn't have teeth, which is not unusual. I think the teeth thing might be a little bit, but like they're probably on their way. They're not worried. I'm learning.
Okay.
This one-year-old that I just went to the birthday party, he's already walking and has like all of his teeth.
Interesting.
It is, I'm learning that babies reach different milestones at wildly different times.
Right.
And so, I don't know, I'm just learning as I go.
That, yeah, as someone who can, I mean, I can imagine that a lot of new parents, if you're not already anxious, you probably develop some sort of baseline of anxiety just worrying about your kid.
Yeah.
And I could see myself freaking out that my child would never grow teeth.
Right.
Never learn how to walk.
They're going to be toothless.
They're going to be toothless and never
learn
how to walk.
They're going to be crawling into kindergarten. Yeah, I think so too. I'd be like, oh no. It's funny though.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's what I did Saturday. Well, I did a lot of stuff this weekend. We did maternity photos Sunday. Megan looked beautiful.
Oh,
yeah, I'll show you off air.
Cool.
I've got pictures on my phone, so I'll show you some pictures off air. And then had a wedding reception Saturday night, so it was a busy weekend.
Okay.
But not as busy as your weekend.
Not as busy as mine,
fitnessing,
probably. Yes.
In Minneapolis.
That's right. So my good buddy Ben Swartz runs Frost Iron Training, which is an awesome corner gym up there in the Standish neighborhood of Minneapolis. It's literally an old 50s style gas station converted into a gym.
That's so baller. I love that.
Yeah. So he's got a corner parking lot. So good amount of space inside, a lot of space outside. He's got squat racks outside, the whole nine. So he invited me to come up and co-host a training seminar for a lot of his clients and members. I could be wrong, but I think pretty much everyone who was there was a client of his. So it's pretty cool because I don't really have to do any promotion to sell out a seminar at his gym. He just kind of has a built-in community of folks who are very interested and some obsessed, as we are, about strength training.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have the luxury of being able to kind of scratch our own itch in terms of like the material that we present. So it was really fun. It was not exactly like a it was not a specifically kettlebell seminar. It was not specifically a powerlifting seminar. It was actually kind of a hodgepodge of different concepts and ideas that we are specifically interested in, and some things that we thought would be good for his population, that, you know, things that people don't otherwise like get to work on or explore in the context of like group classes,
mm-hmm.
which is mostly what he does. So yeah, went up there, had a grand old time.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are some takeaways? You taught.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So yeah. What were some takeaways? What'd you teach?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't fill in some of the contextual gaps and highlights.
Right. If you just left it. We had a good time 8 minutes into the podcast. I'd be like, cool.
So one being, you know, one of the Minneapolis claims to fame in the culinary sense is the Juicy Lucy Burger.
Mm.
Are you familiar with that?
No.
It's a burger that's stuffed with cheese.
Whoa.
Essentially. I'm sure there's more to it than that, but it's my understanding that a Juicy Lucy style burger is a burger wherein the cheese is inside the actual beef.
Is it like shredded cheese that's like worked into the ground beef, or is it like a layer of cheese, like an Oreo, but with meat and cheese?
It's an Oreo.
Oh, weird.
It's a meat and cheese Oreo. Now, I will say this, it was very good.
I imagine, I bet.
Try this on for size, if you think that's a little wild. Ben is a fan of the PB&J Juicy Lucy.
As you were talking about this, I was like, I've had a peanut butter and jelly burger, so like, try me on for size. I have had a PB&J burger. Now, it had cheese on top, not like in the middle of the meat. But yeah, and it was really good. I would do it again.
See, I thought about trying it. I did not. I'm willing to be sold, but I'm a little skeptical.
Oh, dude, it's good. You know, Elvis liked his burgers with peanut butter and mayonnaise, and I've had that burger, and it's also good.
Yeah, it worked out for him. Moving on. we went to the 5-8 Club. And we did not go to Matt's. The 5A Club and Matt's are the two big Juicy Lucy destinations. And supposedly Matt's is a whole bunch of nonsense and that 5'8 is the OG. So if anybody out there knows the difference, let it be known that we went to the 5'8.
Okay, so it's two locations.
No, it's two different burger joints. Each have competing
Juicy Lucy's.
OG bragging rights to the Juicy Lucy. I think nobody knows which one is which, who had the original. I think it's the 5'8, but all that to say, there's like a team 5'8 and there's a team Matt's.
Somebody's just sliding your DMs and be team Matt's and berate you.
Is there anything like that in Nashville? I guess we have that with hot chicken.
But that's not even a debate. Now, people debate their favorite hot
chicken.
People
debate the best.
But the OG is Prince's. Like, yeah, you can't say hot chicken in Nashville. Now, if you come to Nashville and you're looking for hot chicken and you go to Hattie B's, don't ask Zach and I to hang out.
Because we won't.
Because we won't hang out with you. Hattie B's is not, and never will be, the hot chicken destination for people who come to Nashville. If you come to Nashville and you go to Hattie B's for hot chicken, that's like, I don't know. It's like going to a honky-tonk and listening to like some like country music and being like, yeah, it's basically like the Ryman. It's like, don't talk to me.
Oh, sure. It's like going to Kid Rock's and saying that you went to the Ryman.
Yeah, it's not. No, you didn't. It's not. End of discussion. Yeah. Like there's no
way. Are the two big hot chicken joints in Nashville, is it like Team Prince's versus Team Bolton's?
I don't think it's necessarily that they compete, but I think that Prince's and Bolton's would be
your top two OGs.
Yeah, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, nobody's gonna debate that. Yeah. Prince's is the OG, Bolton's is another like Nashville staple. And anybody else after that is just a pretender or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, all that is to say, I don't like hot chicken, or I should say that hot chicken doesn't like me. So I don't eat a lot of hot chicken because I appreciate certain body parts that take a beating from hot chicken. So I don't want to do that to myself.
You're not into beating up certain parts of yourself, Andrew?
No, I'm not at all. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
So
understood.
If you want to eat hot chicken and you want to regret it for the 2 or 3 days post, that's that, you can do that. But I am not a fan of that.
Yeah. No, me either. Me either.
Yeah.
It's.
I think it's worth trying.
Sure.
Once or twice. And then after that, I'm like, you know what? I would rather just eat something else. Now, here's the funny thing about Bolton's, though. I've been told if you go into Bolton's and you ask for, like, the hot or whatever, like the top level or maybe the next one down, they'll size you up and tell you whether or not they think you can handle it. They'll look at you, Zach, and be like, nah, you're getting the medium. You can't handle the hot.
No, I definitely can't handle the hot. No, I went to Bolton's several years ago, actually on my birthday weekend with a bunch of friends. And I may have told this story before on the podcast, but there was a couple sitting across the restaurant from us. And the girl made the amateur hour mistake of rubbing her eyes.
Oh. Mm-mm.
Or rubbing her face, touching her face with a handful of hot chicken dust. And she was having a really bad day.
I can imagine.
She was freaking out. Pretty bad. So they had to like go behind the counter and like flush her face with, you know, emergency baking soda and milk or whatever they have back there.
Like, I just imagine, you remember like in the science labs at school that have like
the eye wash station? Yep. Bolden's definitely has an eye wash station in the kitchen.
That's really funny. Mm. Oh, man. Okay.
So, all that to say, had a Juicy Lucy burger on Friday, which was amazing. And Saturday, all day, was the seminar at Ben's place. So we had about 12 or 14 folks. And We basically broke up the day, like the morning was like lower body stuff and the afternoon was upper body stuff. So in a nutshell, the lower body curriculum was toe and foot control, stability, mobility drills. So we did like toe waves, like toe fists and extensions, just a lot of stuff to like explore toe control.
Sure.
And we did some like single leg movement games that was really fun. There's like the compass game where you basically stand on one foot and you try to tap your foot to 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, with one foot as your other foot is obviously standing. So we did a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of single leg work. Like I said, foot and ankle work. And then we also went over some kind of advanced cues and techniques as it applies to the squat and the hinge.
Mm-hmm.
And then we basically had like a 45-minute practice session before lunch.
Okay.
So letting people explore, practice, and train with different lower body exercises that they are like working on. And then we just kind of went around and did like some hands-on coaching, just kind of doing some Q&A and working with people, you know, kind of more specifically one-on-one.
Right.
We had a gal set a trap bar deadlift PR.
Nice.
Just before lunch, which was fun. So yeah. So that was great. And there was actually a guy there who had kind of blown out the connective tissue of his big toe from years of soccer.
Hmm.
And he was like, oh, all this foot stuff, this toe stuff is really valuable, really helpful.
So move your big toe.
Move your big toe. So that was kind of random, but fun. So then we broke for lunch and then the upper body stuff, we did a lot of spinal wave training. So like, just like promoting or doing drills that promote thoracic spine flexion and extension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like extension, flexion, and then lateral flexion.
Mm-hmm.
So getting into this whole idea of just being able to kind of control and explore the T-spine in those kind of four different planes, which is fun. And then we went on to neck training. So did a lot of neck stretching, a lot of neck stability, a lot of like active resisted neck training.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff there. We did a resistance band sequence that I've been using a lot to help my posture and to help kind of loosen up after like a combination of like jiu-jitsu and like desk work.
Mm-hmm.
Also to help address some of the muscle groups and patterns that are often neglected, like the mid and low traps and the rear delts.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a kind of a gnarly resistance band like anchored to a pull-up bar sequence that I've been fleshing out that I kind of showed everybody. It basically adds up to like, I don't know, a couple hundred reps of a bunch of different pull downs, face pulls, and variations. That people seem to really like. And then we wrapped up the day with pec stick and grip work.
Nice.
So just kind of a lot of like, you know, kind of random drills and variations that people can use to train the grip and then also train like shoulder mobility as well.
Hmm.
So, lots of kind of fun, random stuff that Ben and I kind of nerd out on that otherwise doesn't have like kind of an obvious specific place in a lot of like workouts, but stuff that we figured was like valuable for people to know and to explore and to think about incorporating into their own training.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Any key takeaways that you want to talk about? Like something you're like, oh, I'm going to work this into my programming or whatever.
Let's see.
I mean, you're part of like the, like you were hosting, so I'm sure you're well aware of all the material. So,
yeah,
but I'm curious if there's something you saw or you did that you were like, oh yeah, I'm going to add this more. I'm going to work on this.
Well, I tell you, I'm always maybe surprised, maybe not surprised on how little calf work people seem to do. So, like, just the importance of doing like just some basic elevated calf stretches, which I think I've talked about before.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
That's right. Doing some basic elevated calf stretches and then like heels together, feet neutral, and pigeon-toed calf raises. Mm. Just kind of hitting calves in those different, you know, in those different toe angles. But yeah, I mean, unless you like jump rope or like do calf raises, a lot of times like your calves just don't really have a lot of work capacity or endurance.
Mm.
I think that's just some kind of easy low hanging fruit to pick, so to speak.
Right.
But yeah, man, apart from that, like I'm exploring a lot of wrist, ankle, and neck drills that will be the subject of an upcoming ebook next year.
Mm.
So this workshop was kind of an opportunity for me to kind of quite literally workshop out some of those ideas.
That's cool.
Which was fun. Yeah. And then Saturday night was a gym anniversary party. So, food and drink was had, and lots of feats of strength were had as well.
That's really cool.
So, it was a great time. I got about 3 hours of sleep on Saturday night before I had to get up and catch a flight home, if that tells you anything.
So, you went to bed stone cold sober after...
I went to bed exhausted.
Tired, yeah, from working so hard.
From working so hard.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
And drinking all that water.
I drank a lot of water.
Mm.
I also drank a lot of Hams, if anyone's familiar with Hams beer.
Yeah. The beer, not the meat.
Yeah. Had some Buffalo Trace, I will admit.
I imagine that flight home was not pleasant.
No. Catching an Uber, going through TSA, that whole flight home, and getting back to the apartment was an ordeal. And
then I climbed
into bed and slept through most of Sunday afternoon, and I'm kind of still a little out of it, which is why I'm only having one August Fest for the show.
Because you're beard out right now.
I am.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us.
Sure does. It happens to the worst of us too. I can tell you that.
Well, cool. It sounds like a good weekend.
It was amazing. Yeah.
I am inspired by all the nerding out you do with fitness.
Yeah, man. I mean, pardon my French, explicit warning, but I fucking live for this shit. And I said that multiple times. You know, a lot of times I can kind of present this air of being kind of a cool, aloof, kind of even keeled, I don't want to say low energy guy, but when I get the opportunity to be in front of a crowd, to kind of lead in events, I get a big charge out of it. I get a lot of energy out of it.
That's cool.
So, you know, I basically have to be careful not to, like, throw my voice out. Just yelling with and at people. And, yeah, I mean, whenever you get to be in an environment where you just know you're in a place where you're around other people who are obsessed about this stuff,
mm-hmm.
serious about this stuff, are all nerding out, and you just kind of get the opportunity to really go into the deep end, to really go into left field, and just to nerd out on a lot of these concepts that you otherwise don't really get to hash out, it's really inspiring, you know? And again, dude, I stayed up till, you know, 1 a.m. just talking about fitness and our industry and that whole thing. And I could have gone all night if I didn't have to fly home. So the podcast is a great outlet because we get to do this every week.
Yeah.
Which is fun, obviously, when it's just like you and I, but the workshop environment is kind of a whole nother animal. Hmm. And I know at least a few folks from Minneapolis who were there at the seminar are probably listening right now, some big fans of the show.
Nice, thank you.
And it was a thrill, let me tell you. It was a thrill to hear people drop podcast references in real life. So that was really awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening, y'all.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come into the next one. Not as a presenter, I'm just going to come hang out.
Dude, we'd love to have you as a presenter.
I don't have anything to say.
I don't think so.
I'm be like, I don't know, just lift that weight. Have you tried being strong?
I mean, that's a good first step. A good start.
I'm over here trying to be strong, so I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's cool, man.
Yep.
Sounds like a good time.
It was. So, I also put down the deposit for the rental on the gym where Liftapalooza 2023 is going to be taking place.
Nice.
So, hopefully we'll be able to start promotion and registration for that here in the next week or so.
You can tell me off air where it is.
Sure.
I think you told me and I forget right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly have a kind of official reveal here soon.
Right.
But yeah.
But you can tell me off air. All right, cool. Yeah. Secrets. Stay tuned.
We gotta leave something.
Yeah.
To the imagination.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, sitting on the edge of their seat right now. Will we say it? Not this week.
Tune in next time.
All right. Anything to close on about Minneapolis?
I just, anybody who's listening, I just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for coming out. It was what I would consider like an advanced type of workshop. It's like we kind of bypass all the basics, all the fundamentals. It's like if you were at this event, you were there to nerd out and get into the weeds and kind of get into some of the nerdier concepts that really probably aren't even worth talking about or would really be applicable to anyone who's like just starting out. You know, so it was like people there who are already, you know, very much in that intermediate to advanced phase of training. And that just was fun because I got to kind of flex a different, you know, kind of part of my coaching muscle, so to speak.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah. So thank you very much, everybody who came out. And it's an amazing community. Ben is, I mean, present company included, Andy, like you and Ben are, you know, I would consider like the best coaches that I know.
Well, thanks, dude.
And so there's a reason why I have a podcast with one of you and a strong working relationship with the other. So, yeah, so thanks again, everybody who came out. I had an amazing time. It was my third time doing a workshop up there, I think. And I cannot wait for the next one.
That's awesome, dude.
Yep.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
Okay, moving on?
Yeah.
All right. So off air, personally, I've been struggling at the gym the last couple weeks. Been like, ugh. Things start to feel like Groundhog's Day sometimes. Like when you coach enough deadlifts and enough squats and enough presses and enough pulls, after a while it starts to feel like you're looking at the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Now, on the one hand, I am two things. The first is, just because I see it 1,000 times a day doesn't mean that my clients see it 1,000 times a day.
Right.
So A. And B, just because it's simple and very basic doesn't mean that it isn't good work. So right. I do remind myself, like, to keep things simple. But I'll get in my own, like, I'll get into little ruts, personally, where I'm like, I want to change things up or switch, you know, vary this or do something different to, like, to feel inspired as a coach. Or even as a trainee. I'm sure you probably felt this as a trainee, where there are times where you've, like, been going through the motions and you're like, man, I just, like, I'm going through the motions and that's better than nothing, but, like, I just don't feel inspired to train. This happened to me today, actually. So this is a twofer, kind of. Like, going through the motions feels fine right now. Like, we got a lot going on. So Megan's cooking a baby. I say we. Megan's doing a lot of work. All that is to say, like, I was going through the motions today, and it's better than nothing, but, like, I just feel generally uninspired.
I thought you were going to say bolognese. I was like, Megan is cooking the bolognese.
No, I cooked,
like,
the bolognese.
That's why. Yeah. Right, because you had mentioned that, and then I was like, oh, no, she's actually cooking the baby. That's right.
I'm cooking the meat sauce right now. It's simmering
at home. Andy cooks the bolognese. Megan cooks the baby.
That's right. And I've got noodles already. I've already been in Nicoletto's, got my noodles.
I was going to say, Nicoletto's or bust.
Yeah. Can't go with anybody else. And I almost deviated from the Radiatori, but I didn't. Because the Radiatori holds the sauce. It's like a bear claw. It's sort of like a claw, like holds sauce. Whereas noodles don't. Like the sauce just like rolls off.
Yeah, falls off.
Anyway, so I'm making Radiatori. But point being, now let me preface this with, just because I'm bored as a coach and as a trainee doesn't mean that the work that we're doing isn't hard, because I even wrote on my whiteboards today, no wasted reps.
Right.
So it's hard work and it's simple. But there are just times you like kind of like after seeing it over and over and over again, it's just like meh. So my question to Zach off air, and we have not fleshed this out, so this is live, is when you feel yourself getting into a rut, whether as a trainee or as a coach, what have you done historically that kind of like bounces you out of that, gets you out of that rut, feel good about and like enthusiastic about coaching and training, personally, professionally, however you want to take it?
Yeah. Well, I will say, and obvious, I mean, the two main things I have to say are very obvious, should be very obvious. One, I'll take a whole week off of training.
Oh, nice. I agree. Yeah.
You know? I mean, you probably have experienced this, like you go on vacation, or maybe you're sick, or for whatever reason, you're off of training for anywhere from like 5 days to like 2 or 3 weeks.
Sure.
And I've had the experience where it's like, I just get keyed up to do the most boring workout. I don't care. Like, I just want to go out and lift something. So, you know, they say, what is it? Absence makes the heart grow stronger.
Fonder?
Fonder? Stronger? Fonder, I think.
I think it's fonder. I don't remember, but yeah, sure.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, something like that. So, take a week off of training.
Okay.
And
usually that's easier for like our clients because like work, family obligation, like there are reasons why they usually will miss a week. For me and you as trainees, like it's pretty rare that we just voluntarily take a whole week off.
Yes, voluntarily. So, you know, maybe just spend a week and just, you know, walk, maybe take a hike, you know, stay active. You know, catch up on this or that or the other thing. But otherwise, yeah, just fast from training, if you will.
It's not a bad idea. And I've done that. I mean, again, historically, it's always been like vacations or illness that have kept me from the gym.
Yeah.
And by the time I'm like over the hump, I'm like, oh man, I cannot wait. So yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's like same thing for food. It's like if you eat the same, you know, maybe not the best example because I feel like we've talked about like the importance of kind of having like a repetitive, like monotonous diet. Not to say that the food doesn't taste good or whatever.
Sure.
But you know, you fast for 48 hours, anything will taste good.
Right.
You'll be, you know, you'll be happy eating anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same thing with training. Fast from training, and then you'll soon enough probably be inspired to do just about any workout.
Yeah.
Now, is that a, does that address the core of the issue? Maybe, maybe not.
Sure.
But the other obvious point is outsource your programming, which is what we do for our clients. So either hire a coach or find a program, find a resource, find a coach that is maybe just a little bit outside of your usual wheelhouse and give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know, so I've done that lots over my career. I'll just, you know, kind of hear about a training method or a coach or whatever, and I do a, you know, a cursory amount of research, and then I dive into a program.
Okay.
And sometimes that sticks, and then you go down a rabbit hole. Sometimes it doesn't. But like you've mentioned that, like you hired,
I think I've hired 3 or 4 coaches at some point in my career.
Charles Staley. Staley, mm-hmm. Right? And you've mentioned like Charles Staley's programming was super duper basic.
Super basic.
But you attacked it, right?
Yeah, but I got pretty damn strong.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And I could, like, at the time, I couldn't see the plan, right? Like, I'm just following his direction. But now, in hindsight, I was like, okay, I get, like, where we were going with all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was good. Had a good time.
Yeah.
And he's a great coach.
Totally. Yeah, so those are the two main things I would offer. Either just A, take a total break, or like B, hire a coach, follow a program, something that you don't already know like what's coming.
Right.
You know, like we've all done 5x5, we've all done strong lifts, we've all done 5x1. Mm-hmm. You know, fill in the blank workout.
Percentage based, RPE based, volume based, bodybuilding right. style.
Yeah. So
there's a lot you can use.
Yeah. So even though there's, especially for those of us who have kind of been around the block for years and years and years, there's nothing new under the sun, but just one variable can be the thing that really turns your brain back on.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. To that point, as a coach, at least, sometimes I see something or read something and I'm like, oh, I should try that, like implement that. And it's just one slight tweak and that's enough to like kind of kickstart me again.
Yep.
But yeah, I've just been kind of in this little, I wouldn't even call it a rut. It's kind of like uninspired. Again, workouts are hard and they make sense and they're not, you know, again, no wasted reps. Like we're not getting in there and like bullshitting. Like we're doing some hard work.
Yeah.
But after a while, like, you know, even as a coach, I'm a human being. After a while, I'm like, all right, like, how can I modify even in the simplest ways? And you and I spoke off air about this. We're not talking about, like, overhauling anything. We're not talking about, like, people walking in and doing Pilates all of a sudden.
Right.
Or doing Olympic lifting all of a sudden. Like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about looking at the, you know, meat and potatoes stuff that we typically do. And you're like, all right, well, what direction do I want to go with this?
Yeah.
And I think this is a good time too, and I'm thinking out loud, this is a good pulse check for me as a coach and a trainee, is like, sometimes like a client will be like, oh, I have this particular goal. And it'll kind of take a couple of these like things up in the ether, like a couple ideas, a couple directions up in the ether and pull some down. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good idea to, on occasion, you know, either write down or like, you know, come up with, let's say three things at most. Be like, what are the three things that are most important to me as a trainee? What do I want out of the time and energy that I'm investing here? What do I want to get out of this? And sometimes that'll kind of sort of narrow some choices down and be like, okay, well, we have all these things that we could pick from, all these different choices. Now we're kind of narrowing things down. So I think on occasion it's a good idea to, and I'll do this with my clients. I'll send out an email every few months. It's like, are we cruising towards your goals? Are we doing the things that you think are effective? Like, basically pulse check and be like, hey, this is an opportunity. Are we, you know, am I meeting your expectations as a coach? You know, do you feel like your workouts are effective? Are you reaching goals? So on and so forth. And if that's an opportunity for them to be like, well, you know, maybe I could try this or this or this. And again, it sort of, you know, refocuses our efforts.
Yep.
So I think on occasion, it's just a good idea to just do a pulse check and be like, hey, what's working well? What's not working so well? What are we trying to do here? And like, let's like hit it hard and fast.
Yeah, creative constraints are very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's another thing. If you kind of like dabble in everything, that can also get a little bland.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, it's like, eh. Then you just have like a bunch of plates just, you know, just kind of full of nonsense. Versus if you have like one super duper carefully well-made, well-crafted dish.
Sure.
That can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, just sometimes just actually prioritizing your training. Like we're gonna put this on the back burner and we're prioritizing this.
Hmm.
Sometimes it's taking a bunch of things away and focusing really hard on one or two things can be quite motivating.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that too.
I like that analogy. It's a good one.
Yeah. So it's not, maybe it's not what you should add, but maybe what could you subtract? Or if you had to subtract, what would you?
Addition by subtraction or whatever.
Exactly.
I like that idea. I did that today with my own training. Going in, I had no plan going into it. And I was like, well, I could do this, I could do this. How much time do I have? Yada, yada, yada. And I settled on something and I was like, this is what I need and it checks boxes that I want to check. Is it the most optimal for this one, for this other goal? No. Is it the most optimal for this other goal and within my time constraints, my creative constraints? I was like, yes. So I'm gonna manipulate my variables like this and navigate my trading accordingly. And also feeling it out from, because I actually did go train on Saturday. Because I had to get two vaccines Friday. My arm was killing me. Mm. But anyway, I went training Saturday and did like a total body workout that kicked my ass. The point being, I went in today and I was like, all right, you know, minimum effective dose, time constraints, upper body, what looks good feels good for my bad shoulder. So like starting to like narrow things down, and then it was great. I mean, not an epic battle of a workout, but it checked a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I have to remind myself is like, if you're looking for an epic battle of a workout every time you train, either you're gonna burn yourself out or your expectations are way too high.
You should go to a one-year-old's birthday party.
Right.
If you're looking for something truly epic.
Right, an epic Halloween one-year-old birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like training shouldn't be hard and like aggressive and like hit it hard, but like we're not going into battle. Like,
yeah.
I want hard training, but like let's manage expectations here. They don't all have to be Instagram reel worthy, right? Like punch the clock. So anyway, and yeah, right.
All that being said, I would say on a regular occasion, probably like once a week, I go to write a client's program, and I am just empty.
Yep.
I'm just like, what is an exercise?
Right.
I don't know. I can't get started, can't get finished. I mean, yeah, so I struggle with that a lot. You know, just writing workouts all the time for so many people. And it's like, you know, you want to toe this line between giving people what they want, what they need, something different.
Mm-hmm. And then realizing that consistency and boring is probably not what you want, not what they want, but like what's going to like really get them results.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes I sit there and I'm like, I'm just staring at a blank spreadsheet, and I just shake my head and I'm like, I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
I don't know. But of course, you know, it's like, okay, you start small, you start somewhere. Like, again, you go back and you ask these very fundamental questions. What's the main goal?
Right.
You start there. What are the obvious things that we have to do to address the main goal?
Right.
You throw in the big rocks, so to speak. Then the little rocks, then the sands.
Right.
So another Dan John-ism is embrace the obvious. Somebody wants to get strong.
Lift big weights.
Lift big weights. Are we addressing that?
Right.
You know, and then go from there. And then once the momentum starts going, then you can be a little creative. Then, you know, things kind of start to come together. But yeah, I mean, it's something that I struggle with all the time. I think any coach who is a full-time trainer, whether that's in person, you're writing programs and workouts for people in person or on the fly, or you're writing programs, you know, on the internet or any combination thereof. Yeah, I mean, it all piles up into like feeling like the same darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that is like you kind of have to expect that, because I think that's just kind of reality.
Right.
But, you know, having conversations with your clients, making sure that you're on the same page about what the goals are, that all goes a long way. Because even if something is super duper boring and it just fits on a napkin, if you can defend it, well, you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Yeah, one of my mentors once told me is like, if you're gonna do something, be prepared to defend it.
Yep.
And I think about that when I'm writing programs, and like if I start getting a little willy-nilly and like, oh, this just looks like craziness, and I'm like, I better be able to defend it. And that's, you know, it's funny to say that, like I have someone that's like auditing me, because I don't. And at the same time, I'm like, am I trying to be too cute for the sake of being cute, or is this actually like good work?
Yeah.
So it's tricky. It's a careful line, like careful balance, careful dance, because the stuff that ends up doing the most work and gets the most results is the most boring. And mm-hmm. then, but then like the cutesy fun stuff is the stuff that's like Instagram reel worthy. And you're like, well, and depending, you know, it's hard. There's a crossover there.
Yeah.
You know, ripping heavy deadlifts is not that reel worthy, but will it get you really strong?
Build
a lot of muscle, burn some calories. I mean, kind of.
Hey, dude, at the right angle.
At the right angle, the right music and the right reel.
Is definitely Instagram worthy.
Yeah, with the right format, reel or whatever. I've never done a reel, so I couldn't tell you, but.
Yeah. Well, it's very funny. You know that push-up reel that I put out a couple weeks ago? The one arm off the kettlebell thing?
Yeah.
You know, I've posted that video or some variation of that video like 3 or 4 times over the past couple years. It's always done like okay, you know? But you edit it, like you cut out like all the dead parts, you zoom in, you add some captions, and now the darn thing is up to almost 100,000 hits.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard Instagram really does kind of reward reels.
Yeah. It's just a matter of taking content that, I mean, speaking to your point, otherwise could be boring if you just lay it out there, full bear.
Yeah.
But with a little editing, with a little pizzazz, with the angles, et cetera, et cetera. Something can really blow up. So. Yeah. So, I mean, it's the boring stuff, but it's all about how you present it, how you wrap it.
Right.
So. Well, cool, man. You have somewhere to be here soon. I need to get home and make dinner, so I'm not gonna try to fill 10 or 15 more minutes here. I think that's a good place to wrap up on.
Yeah, go home and drink some water and go to bed, brother.
Yeah,
I gotta do the same. I gotta be at work at 5:30.
Yeah, dude.
But I will admit, my 5:30 a.m. group is one of my favorites to start with. Like, if I had to pick a group to start with at 5:30, like, this is like pretty an epic group.
They're yeah, fun. Man.
Listen to metal and kick their fucking ass. It's fun.
If they weren't worth waking up and driving across town for.
Oh yeah, that would be a tough drive.
That would be a bad day.
Yeah.
That would be a bad morning.
Leaving at like 5:05 a.m. being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I gotta go hang out with these guys. No, they're great. They're good guys.
You know, that's actually probably a good, I don't know, hack here. If anyone who's out there listening who works with a personal trainer, if you are their very first session of the day, you're also probably one of their favorite clients.
I hope so.
Because otherwise, those are prime spots
mm-hmm.
that could go to just about anybody.
Right. I don't have any sessions I don't like. What I'm trying to say is, like, this is a great session to start a day.
Yeah.
Especially my long day. Tomorrow's my long day. Ugh. 5:30 to 1 p.m. And then I go back from 4 to 5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a long day for Andy Van.
It's a long day, yeah. So, anyway. All right, brother, do the thing.
All righty. Well, with that, thank you so much for listening. A to Z, no BS. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.